Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning with me to Luke chapter 10 and find verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, we'll be reading through verse 37 as we return to our recent teaching series through the Gospel of Luke called Moments with the Messiah. This teaching series took us on a journey through the Gospel account of Luke and spanned all the way from the first Sunday in Advent back in December of 2019 to Easter Sunday of 2020, which was just 2 weeks ago. As we said all throughout our series, the Gospel of Luke is one of four New Testament books, along with Matthew, Mark, and John, that chronicle the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's chosen Messiah who came to earth to seek and to save those spiritually lost and relationally separated from God because of their sin. All through our series, we looked at some of the significant moments in his life and ministry, moments that confirmed and amplified that he truly was God's chosen Messiah. And while we looked at some really amazing moments in those weeks and months together, I certainly realized that there were plenty of others that we did not get to look at simply because of the scope of our original series, which was designed to run from Christmas to Easter. And that's why we're doing a little bit of a reprise or a return to this series so we can go back and look at some of the other significant moments that we didn't get to look at the first time around. And so this morning we're going to look at one of these amazing moments and amazing moments that contains one of the most famous parables of Jesus, the parable of the Good Samaritan. From this moment, we're going to discover together what it means to be a loving neighbor. And certainly being a good neighbor, a loving neighbor, is something that is on all of our radar as a society because of the COVID-19 pandemic that we find ourselves in. I think about some of the primary considerations that we made as a church, as the leaders of the church, as it related to our gathering together for worship before the government bans set in, were focused on what it would mean for us to be a good neighbor to others by choosing not to gather to help slow the spread of this virus. And so when we think about going to grocery stores or going to pick up takeout or even going outside to exercise and maybe going to a local park, part of what is on all of our minds and on our hearts, and rightly so, is this idea of being a good neighbor. And as important as it is to be a loving neighbor, this parable is also going to point us to Jesus Christ, the ultimate loving neighbor who has provided for our greatest need through his life, death, and resurrection. So would you pray with me this as we ask the Lord for his help as we turn to his word? Lord, what a privilege it is for us to be able to study your word together today. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as we endeavor to understand your word together. Would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see wonderful things that are in your law? Would you give us hearts that are soft and receptive to receive the implanted word into our hearts? And Lord, would you give us wills that are eager to obey and apply your truth to our lives so that we would be not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. And so thank you, Lord, for helping us with these things. And it's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Luke writes there, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him," Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he, this lawyer, answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he, Jesus, said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, this lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, or 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay to you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Jesus asked this lawyer. And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And so from that passage of scripture, I want us to see this big idea today. Loving neighbors show generous mercy. Loving neighbors show generous mercy. So let's walk back through that passage and discover how we arrive at this big idea. This moment with the Messiah begins as a lawyer who was a religious leader skilled in the study and interpretation of the biblical laws attempts to test Jesus by asking him a question. It's a question that we've seen before, a really important question. It's the same question that Jesus asked to the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. However, unlike the rich young ruler, this lawyer is not on a quest to know more about true spiritual life. He's not trying to find out more about what it means to enter into God's kingdom. Instead, he's primarily looking for a way to trip Jesus up. He's looking for an opportunity to discredit him and his ministry. But he's also seeking to justify himself. He's looking for a silver bullet good deed, if you will, that he could do and somehow earn eternal life. Well, Jesus, because he is God, knows all things, and therefore he knows the motivation of this man. And so he turned the question back on him and gave him a chance to explain what was the most basic law of the Old Testament, a law that was memorized and recited 2 times daily by Jewish people. And that law is that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And this man, of course, this lawyer, being skilled in the Old Testament law, answered perfectly Jesus' question. And Jesus affirmed his correct answer, but then Jesus exhorted him to live out those commands. He said, "Do this and you will live." And that's important for us to stop and notice here, that the key was the exhortation of Jesus to this lawyer to live out those commands. Don't just study them. Don't just have the ability to interpret them, but apply them. Put them into practice of your life. Something that I pray for us each Sunday. I did just a few moments ago, that we would be hearers, that we would be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word, that we would make application of the truth of God's word to our lives. And I want to say to us, friends, that we need to read and study the Bible, like one pastor said, with open hearts, active minds, and prayerful souls. We should be praying as we read and study and listen to God's word. "Lord, help me live out the truth of your word." Jesus said, "Do this and you will live." Well, this lawyer couldn't leave well enough alone, and he pressed the point further by asking Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Again, his aim is not a quest for true knowledge. He's not looking for a way to faithfully apply the law. He's looking for a means to justify himself or to kind of make the scope of the law and this command to love his neighbor fit within his social and religious circles. The question he should have asked, and the one question that we ought to be asking as well, is how can I be a loving neighbor? Not who is my neighbor, but how can I be a loving neighbor? Well, this time Jesus doesn't turn the question back to him, but he uses a parable to answer his question of who is my neighbor. A parable is an earthly story that people in the day could have understood and identify with, but it's a story that communicates an eternal truth, a timeless truth. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning and application. Now, this parable was likely familiar to many of you who are listening today. A man traveling the treacherous road between Jerusalem and Jericho is robbed. He's beaten and he's left for dead. Now, this was not an unusual circumstance along this particular road, as it was very steep and it was marked by twists and turns, which made it kind of a prime spot for thieves and robbers to hide in order to take advantage of people as they pass by. But in this particular parable, Jesus' point is not so much about what happened to this man at the hands of the robbers, but what didn't happen at the hands of the religious people who walked by in the wake of this attack. Religious leaders who should have known better, who should have done differently. Religious leaders who could likely quote from memory these two great commands of the law: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. See, Jesus' point here was also to spotlight what did happen through the most unlikely of heroes, a supposed enemy of the Jews, a Samaritan who passed by after the religious leaders. And the religious leaders, even though they saw this man, chose to walk right by and not help him in his distress. They showed a cold-hearted lack of concern rather than a kind, compassionate mercy, which you would have expected. It reminded me of a story as I thought about that this week. One Christmas as a young kid, I was going on Christmas morning down to a friend's house to spend some time with them as they would have been opening their gifts. And our house was set up on a hill, and so my driveway was kind of steep and sloped. And I would come down that driveway at kind of top speed. And as I came down the driveway and turned left to head down to my friend's house, my foot slipped off the pedal of the bike and went right into the front wheel, into the spokes of the front wheel, and then hit the forks on the front of my bike that held the wheel in place. And it caused me to do a complete flip. And as I did this flip, I landed in the road with my bicycle right on top of me. And as I was laying there, there was this old hound dog who was kind of sitting on the porch of his house, and he was barking at me as he saw what happened, kind of pouring salt in my wound as I was laying there. But after a couple of moments, I looked back toward my driveway and saw my dad walking down the driveway coming to get the paper that morning. And as he comes down to get the paper, he looks down the road and he sees me, his son, his only son, his beloved son, right? Laying in the middle of Meeks Road in Tallahassee, Florida, with his bike on top of him, clearly in distress. And my dad, in a moment of great compassion, looks down the road and says to me, "Boy, are you trying to kill yourself?" And then he picked up the paper and he walked back inside. Didn't come to check on me, didn't come to lend a hand. He just said, "Boy, are you trying to kill yourself?" And that's, in a sense, almost what happened with these religious leaders who saw this man lying in the road, left for dead. But as Jesus gets ready to introduce this real Samaritan hero, you have to understand that the expectation of those listening to this parable of Jesus, including this lawyer, would have thought that another Jewish person, maybe a layman, would have come by to help. But Jesus, throws a curveball to his audience. He shocks his audience by inserting a Samaritan into the story. A generously merciful Samaritan who rescues, cares, and provides for this Jewish man in his hour of distress and physical need. See, Jews and Samaritans hated one another. And so for the Samaritan to be the hero of the story was scandalous that Jesus would tell the story in this way. But this Samaritan man cared for this Jewish man, not only in the moment, but beyond the moment. And he wasn't concerned about the social, ethnic, religious, or financial boundaries that he had to cross in order to do so. And so Jesus wraps up this exchange with a final question to the lawyer. Which of these proved himself to be a neighbor? And the answer, of course, was the one who showed mercy, right? The Samaritan. But notice what the lawyer did not say. He did not say the Samaritan. He simply said the one who showed mercy. He couldn't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. And then Jesus charges this lawyer to go and do the same. Go and follow the example of this Samaritan. And this had significant meaning for him specifically, but it also has meaning for us today as well. And the meaning is, no matter who you encounter in life, if they have a need and it's in your power to meet it, you should do so as generously as possible. And when you meet needs in that way, you prove yourself to be a loving neighbor. And that again takes us back to this big idea, right? Loving neighbors show generous mercy. Now, typically in a sermon on this passage, the application would include encouragement to those who are listening to kind of find themselves in the story by asking themselves who they are most like. Are they most like the priest or the Levite? Or are they most like the Samaritan when they encounter those who are in need? Now, I'm not saying that's not a good exercise, because I think it is. We should certainly make it our quest to be like the Samaritan as we love our neighbors by showing generous mercy. And it also means, as we think about this and kind of identify ourselves in this way, that we may find ourselves needing to repent. Repent for our lack of compassion. Repent for our lack of generous mercy for those who we've also encountered along our way. We may indeed realize that we've not been loving neighbors. And if we do, we should ask the Lord's help to help us change and be more like this Samaritan. But if we're honest, this is not as easy as it sounds, is it? We are by default somewhat skeptical people. We're kind of skeptical of those who come to us or who we come across who find themselves in some sort of distress, aren't we? We may be even extremely reticent to help someone because of a fear of enabling them. People who seem to live in a state of distress, kind of a constant place of distress. And that distress is brought about by their own unwise decisions. Now, certainly we ought to be prudent. We ought to be discerning when assessing the needs that we encounter in the lives of other people. But I want to say to us that our overall disposition should be a desire to help and extend mercy, not to withhold it. The truth is that Jesus' disciples are called to show love for and extend mercy to anyone in need, even if it's difficult to do so. I love what pastor and author Tim Keller says about this when he says, "We instinctively tend to limit for whom we exert ourselves. We will do it for people like us and for people whom we like. Jesus will have none of that. By depicting a Samaritan helping a Jew, Jesus could not have found a more forceful way to say that anyone at all in need, regardless of race, politics, class and religion is your neighbor. Not everyone is your brother and sister in the faith, but everyone is your neighbor, and you must love your neighbor. And you know, an essential part of doing that is asking for the Lord's help, isn't it? We need the Lord's help to see the world around us and to respond to that world with a heart of compassion. After all, that's what set the Samaritan apart from these Jewish leaders, religious leaders. He had compassion when he saw this man who was robbed. And so I want to encourage you today to ask the Lord for his help. Ask him to help you see those around you with a heart of compassion and then respond to them with generous mercy. May we seek by God's grace to emulate this generously merciful Samaritan. But even more than seeing ourselves as and emulating the Samaritan in this parable, I want us to see ourselves today at a more foundational level. And in seeing ourselves at a more foundational level, I want us to see Jesus at a more glorious level. At the most foundational level, we need to see ourselves in that apart from Christ, we are all like the man who fell among the robbers. Unless someone comes and rescues us with sacrificial neighbor love and mercy, we will certainly perish. And we won't just perish physically, we'll also perish spiritually. You see, because of our sinful state, we are in desperate need of someone to show mercy to us. See, we're not just left half dead in our trespasses and sins. We are fully dead in them. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul writes there, and you, he's speaking to Christians, and he's speaking about who they were apart from Christ. He says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked or lived. You were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. See, this passage makes it clear that we are in far greater spiritual distress and danger than the victim in our story today. Because of our sinful rebellion against God, we are objects of his righteous wrath. And so as a result, we need something more than just generous mercy from a kind human being. We need something more than some sort of a religious spiritual bullet, a good deed that we can perform to somehow tip the scales of God's grace in our favor. No, friends, we need more than that. We need extravagant, rescuing mercy that only God himself can give. You see, only God can intervene and redeem and remedy our spiritually dead state. And praise be to his name. In and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has intervened. You see, Jesus Christ is our ultimate neighbor who has extended to us God's radically extravagant mercy. Listen as the Apostle Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. He says to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, or who were, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to say to you today that Jesus, like many have said, is not like the Good Samaritan. Jesus is infinitely greater than the Good Samaritan. Jesus saw our sinful brokenness. He came to us in compassion, and demonstrated his love for us through his substitutionary death. He died in our place. And in doing so, he paid our ransom, the full cost of our redemption, through the shedding of his own blood as a sacrifice for our sin. And in that supremely gracious act, Jesus extended the extravagant mercy of God to us. I love what Pastor Thabiti Onyebuile says when he says, "The Lord Jesus does for us everything that we could not do when it comes to obeying God and paying the penalty for our sin. We were left for dead in our sin, but Christ rescues us, heals us, and pays for our needs by his grace. He freely gives to us what we could never earn. He gives to the world the hope of eternal life based upon his perfect obedience to God and sacrifice of his life. So those who repent of their sins and trust in him receive as a gift eternal life from God. What the Lord Jesus gives, we cannot earn." So the question is never, what can I do to earn eternal life? You see, this leads us to today's bigger idea. And that is that our greatest need is not to be a loving neighbor, but to embrace the extravagant mercy of our greatest neighbor, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, loving neighbors are first and foremost loved sinners. Loved sinners who have become beneficiaries of the extravagant mercy of God in Christ. We must understand and embrace that it's only because of Christ's sacrificial work on our behalf that we are able to reach out to those in need around us. We love, the scripture says, because he first loved us. You see, it's only when our heart is touched and transformed by the extravagant mercy of God in Christ that we are positioned to show generous mercy to others. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions in reflection today. Number one, are you a beneficiary of the extravagant mercy of God in Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone by faith to be your ultimate neighbor, to be the one who has provided the way for you to be forgiven of your sins? Are you a beneficiary of the extravagant mercy of God? If you're not, I would urge you today, exhort you today, trust in Christ today by faith. And then second question I would ask you to reflect upon is, in what ways do you need the Lord's help to be a loving neighbor? Maybe today's message has caused you to think and to see ways in your life which you've kind of been cold-hearted toward those around you, toward the needs of those around you. Maybe even in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, you've been kind of cold-hearted toward the needs that other people are expressing. Maybe today you need to ask the Lord's help to help you, enable you to be a loving neighbor. Would you humble yourself today and ask the Lord for the help that you need? Scripture says that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. Would you humble yourself today and ask the Lord for his help to help you be a loving neighbor? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much today for this timely word from your word today. I pray, Lord, that you might, by your Holy Spirit, help us to understand, embrace, and apply the truth that you're teaching us through this parable. I pray, Lord, that every person who hears this message today might rightly discern and evaluate with the help of your Spirit if they truly are a beneficiary of the extravagant mercy of God in Christ. And I pray that those who are listening would humble themselves before you today and ask for your help to be a loving neighbor. And so we thank you today, Lord, for your word. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.